Hi, I'm Kathy Forsty, music director at KC Cafe Radio. We're very happy to have a well-known comedian and actress, Judy Nasmitz, as an artist on KC Cafe Radio. As an actress and comedian, she's appeared on The Tonight Show over 100 times, as well as being on other well-known television shows like Ellen and Will and Grace. She's also a very impressive resume in both film and theater. Recently, Judy recorded her first album, Variety Pack. This album shows off Judy's skills not only as a comedian, but also as a singer and a songwriter, in genres ranging from reggae to country to jazz and even rap. Thanks so much, Judy, for taking the time to talk with me today on KC Cafe Radio.
Well, you're welcome. I'm so glad that we could do this.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. My first question to you is, how did a nice girl from Jersey become a comedian in L.A. via New York City and Chicago?
Oh, let's see. Well, the thing is, I had a varied route. I started in New Jersey, which is a great place to grow up, by the way. It's not at all like The Sopranos, but it's got very grounded people, working class. And I went to school in Rhode Island, which kind of gave me my basis for a lot of my humor. I was in a sorority, and we would do shows and sketches all the time and make fun of everybody. So we had, I mean, not people outside of our sorority, but we did a lot of shows, and I found my sense of humor there, I think. And I moved to New York, not for theater or singing, but I had a job there. But I found myself, as soon as I got there, I just started auditioning for things so that I could perform. And I started in sketch groups and comedy groups, and I joined a group called Chicago City Limits, where I learned to improvise. And then I taught improvisation, and I performed all over the place. I toured with their company, and I did the main stage arena. And my husband, who was a waiter on the 44th floor of one of the towers of the Trade Center, he was a writer. He wanted to be a writer. And, of course, I knew he was going to be doing this. My mother would say, he's a waiter. Like, no, he's a writer. Wanted to come to L.A. to try his luck at writing. So we moved to L.A. And when you move to L.A. from somewhere else, you just have to start all over again at the bottom of everything. And that's how I got here. And when I got here, I found myself involved in comedy groups and theater companies, things like that. And that's... I guess that's how I did it. I actually started my performing career in commercials. Did a lot of commercials.
Mm-hmm. What's some of the commercials we would know that you've done?
Well, the products. Let's see. One of the the funniest thing is that the first commercial that I was upgraded from an extra to a principal doing was because they asked if anybody among the 35 adults or so of us who were going to be parents at a school assembly, could we play the piano? And I raised my hand, even though I could play, but it was a long time before that. And mm-hmm. hadn't gone very far because my teacher was like so old and she died during when she was teaching me and everything.
Oh, my goodness.
But I raised my hand and they picked me. And I only had to do, you know, three chords. But that was my first spot. My second spot won an award. What do you call those advertising awards? But anyway, a Clio. Mm-hmm. It was for a diet aid product, Accutrim, and I had to dive face first into a huge ice cream sundae. I didn't eat ice cream for 6 months after that.
I bet.
Yeah. I don't know. I do crazy things on commercials. I nearly run over by 40 speeding Mazdas. I've been blown out of a pool by Captain Crunch's submarine, you know, hoisted up by a crane and everything.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. So you said your husband came to LA to be a writer, and you write as well. Do you guys collaborate?
Yeah, we do. We do. As a matter of fact, I had auditioned for him in New York for his comedy group, sketch group, and we used to perform in the East Village. We did all kinds of stuff, crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And we still collaborate. He produced a Christmas special a couple of years ago and this past Christmas, and I was a guest star on that. So, you know, we're still working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we write all the time.
So do you do anything other than comedy, or you do drama?
I do whatever it takes.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, I'm doing a play right now, and I was just with someone last night that had come to see it last weekend, and they said, well, that's the most dramatic thing I've ever seen you do. You know, I said, yeah, I can do that too. And he said, well, it just didn't seem like the normal Judy. But it is. The play is Enron, and it's about the big Enron scandal of 2001.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. I've heard of that play.
It's a great play. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's a fabulous play. And in it, it has two, I do two very serious monologues and a very serious scene. And people just go, oh, my gosh, you're so serious. I do whatever it takes.
Well, it shows you've got some good acting chops there.
I try. Yeah. Some people would agree, some people don't. You know, that's life. That's life.
So do you prefer comedy over like drama or musicals? Where's your
heart at? I don't. That's why I named my album Variety Pack, because I just love performing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how or where or what I'm doing. I just love it. I just love to, in comedy, I love to hear the laughter. In drama, I love to hear the gasps.
Yeah.
And musicals, I just, you know, love to sing, so.
Mm-hmm. And Variety Pack kind of brings those three things together, because there's some songs here with some really serious kind of themes, but you do it in such a comedic way that, you know, it's not like it's a heartbreaking thing. It's sort of like, oh yeah, I've been there, done that kind of thing, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, that was kind of the tough part in actually coming up with a name for this album, because before I had all these songs and I didn't know how to, or if I should try to put them together, because everybody kept telling me, oh, you have to have a theme. Well, what's your through line? I'm like, through line? There's nothing. I'm the through line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a theme. It's all the stuff that, a lot of the stuff that I've done. I have no idea what to name it. And then I went in thinking I had a name. And when we were finishing it, almost a year later, you know, 9 months later or so, I realized that the name I had nothing to do with the album.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a loss for what to call it. And I actually was at lunch with my dearest friend that I had met in New York years ago. And I was telling her all bit about the album, and I'm like, oh, it's this and it's that, but it's all these genres, and I don't know what to name it. I said, it's kind of like a variety pack of, wait a minute, right?
There you go.
So, yeah, so no, like that, I don't have a favorite. It's what I'm doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's what I like to do.
So were you a PTA mom?
Oh, my gosh, I was. Oh, yes. I was a PTA mom. If you did have a camera here, you could see my PTA drinking glass mug and a picture of my PTA moms behind me. And I was the PTA mom. As a matter of fact, when I had my daughter and she was going through school, and people would say, how are you going to keep performing, you know, now that your kid's in school and you're involved in all these activities? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to give it up. You know, I still want to keep doing it. And one of the things I did as a PTA mom, besides all the stuff you hear on the record, is I started an awards show for the parents and the administrators of the school. So every year we would do this awards show, and I would make up these awards called the Sappies.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, that's how I first came up with one version of PTA Mom and a couple other things. And I had all the parents perform all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of kept at it through. I mixed my schoolwork with my creative side, which I so enjoyed. And then I kept it up in middle school and even in high school.
Wow.
My PTA stuff in high school turned out to be a band mom, because my daughter's a drummer, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that can be just as intense. Being a band mom is just as intense as being a PTA mom.
Completely intense. Completely intense.
Especially if the school's really into band. I know there's some high schools around here where I have friends who are, you know, band parents, and it's just very intense. They're, like, always raising money. They're always raising money to go someplace or.
Yep.
Yeah,
I went to the Fiesta Bowl twice, which was, you know, to see my daughter march and drum. I think in the parade, we actually saw her 10 seconds, you know.
Yeah.
But you go there and you see all the parades and all the games. And it was fantastic. But I kept up my entertaining in the the band parent meetings. Mm-hmm. So it was, so PTA mom, everything that's on that is actually happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when did you start writing? When did you start writing songs? Did you do that early on, or is this something that just kind of evolved? Or?
Well, you know, when I did improvisation in New York and here, one of the things we would do would be to make up songs on the spot. And, you know, you'd ask for a suggestion of a title or a subject or a genre of music, and then we would just make up songs. And by the time I got out here, I was lucky enough to be in a group that actually created full length, maybe a 20-minute musicals, operas, operettas, rock operas, folk musicals, things like that. And I found that I really enjoyed doing that. I had a good time and I could do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And as you move along in your career out here, a lot of people that you perform with turn to writing and they no longer perform. And I didn't want to do that. But after a while I thought, no, wait a minute, maybe I should actually write down some songs that I think of. Nothing that I had done on stage, but just whatever. And I did. I just started writing things down. As a matter of fact, the polka that's on there, I wrote after a trip back to my folks' house in New Jersey, where we actually went shopping for kielbasa. Uh-huh. And I actually have a video of the entire trip. And on the plane ride home, I wrote the song because, I had to write it. I just had to write it. Mm-hmm. And things happened after that. You know, I just started writing the songs. They weren't improvised. They were just written off of something that happened in an instant. And I thought, okay, let me take out my spiral notebook. Yeah. And write. Uh-huh. And my spiral notebooks with songs yet unfinished are in my bookcase right here. Just have to figure out a way to tie them together.
Right, yeah. That's the way I am. I have just ideas. I have notebooks and notebooks of ideas, and I just never know how I'm ever going to get them all put together.
Right.
How do you decide what, like, you have so many genres on here. How do you decide what kind of genre you're going to write a particular song in?
Sometimes it just comes naturally. Uh-huh. And other times I have the song and I just want to put it in a genre that I don't know. That's how my mind works. I had done an Irish play out here. I don't know if you've heard of it, The Beauty Queen of Lennon. And I had to master an Irish accent. And then I thought, okay, let's listen to some Irish music, you know. And that was the beginning of the Judy Weiner thing. Mm-hmm. Although it's not really, I mean, it's not a heavy Irish thing, but that was the suggestion that came to my mind. I'm like, how am I gonna do this one? Mm-hmm. Although it's not entirely Irish, but we got the guy to play some Irish instruments in the background. So
yeah, that's a fun song too. I really like that one. I can relate to that
one. I know, and I have my girlfriends that I grew up with in New Jersey listen to it and they start crying. They said, "Judy, did you really feel like that?" Uh-huh. Actually, I didn't. It was written about somebody else, but
right.
Yeah. Oh, a friend of mine. Yeah.
So what do you think influences your style of comedy?
My style of comedy? Oh. My style of comedy and my music?
Yeah. Or either way. I mean, what do you think? Is it like life? Like just life experience?
I think it's life. I really do. When I taught improvisation, my whole point I wanted to get across to all my students, who were adults, by the way, mm-hmm. not children, they were all adults, mm-hmm. was that you have to be true to yourself whatever you do, whether it's singing, whether you're in business, whether you're performing, acting, whatever, whether you're on camera, off camera. And so I just rely on a sense of my own self. Mm-hmm. I say what I think is funny. I go after what I think is funny. Mm-hmm. What is odd? I'm an observer of things in life. I was a sociology major in college, so I'm kind of still that. I look at people in group situations and just think it's funny.
Yeah. So you think it's more you're trying to make yourself laugh than trying to make others laugh? Is that what you're trying to do, or is
well, I don't know. You know, if they laugh, that's fine. I don't care if they laugh or not. Mm-hmm. It's what I think is funny.
Right. So yeah. It's like more like this is funny to me, and so yeah. Hopefully you're going to think it's funny too.
Yeah. Some people get it, and some people wonder why I do it. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But isn't that true of everybody, really?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like with songwriting. You write songs really for yourself. And then if other people enjoy it, that's just a bonus, you know?
Right, right. And I found that a lot of people enjoy my stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've done these live, you know, in a show. You know, I don't play an instrument. You got that from all the wonderful musicians that I have on this album. Mm-hmm. So I have performed these live, though, with an accompanist or the track or whatever. And people love them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I, when I first did it in a show that I wrote, actually it was my own show. I wrote the sketches and the songs. I had no idea if anybody would like anything that I did. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the only thing, rule that I had was if I thought it was funny, I was going to do it. And they loved it. They did. Even people that didn't know me.
Yeah.
So I just figured, okay, I'll go on. Mm-hmm. I'll do it and I'll actually make it into an album.
Yeah.
And we'll see, you know? I mean, the fact that two hamsters died and I was on the third one when I wrote that hamster song.
Yeah. The hamster didn't die today. Yeah.
Right. That's all true.
Uh-huh.
That's all true. We actually went through four hamsters that time. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the end of the hamster run.
Yeah. Hopefully you didn't move on to larger animals. And
We have one. We have a cat. When my daughter moved back home, she brought her cat. So there you go.
Okay.
And she's still alive and kicking, that cat.
Yeah. Well, cats are have a little bit more ability to withstand things than hamsters do, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at what point did you decide, hey, I'm going to put all these songs on a CD?
You know, I had a bunch of these songs and I'm like, okay, here I am at this stage in my career. I'll be frank, you know, I don't know if it happens in New York, but in LA, you get to a certain age, like over 30 mm-hmm. or over 35, and everything slows down for you because you're too old for anybody out here. And I'm like, okay, I think I still have a lot of creativity here to show people. And what should I do about it? And a couple of my friends had gotten books published and were doing things in their lives that they never thought they'd ever do. And I thought, you know what? My book is going to be my album. Mm. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I'm just going to do it because I need to do it. I found Chad Watson, my producer, and he really helped me put it together. He was kind of stunned, though, when I first met him and I said, I need a polka. I need a folk song. I need this and that. And he goes, you what? What? You come to the point in your life when why shouldn't you just do it?
Right.
You know?
At a certain age, you lose all fear, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, I'm just going to do this. This is what I want to do. I'm just going to go for it and do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I had no idea how to do it, by the way. Absolutely no idea. One of my friends, whom you might know, Robert Morgan Fisher.
Yeah, yeah. We play him on the station. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And we had performed together. He was a guest on one of my improv sketch shows years ago. And we were Facebook friends, and I saw that his songs had been played, you know, this and that. And I thought, well, let me just ask Robert. So I got in touch with him, and he's like, oh, my God. Yes, you should do it. Yes, you should. I know who you should work with. And yes, meet me at the Topanga Starbucks, and I'll tell you all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And that's how it started. So thank you, Robert Morgan Fisher.
Yeah, he writes some really great political songs.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I like his stuff a lot.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He's a great guy.
So who are your musical heroes? Who have you admired as musicians over the years?
Oh, I don't know if I have musical heroes. I don't think I have musical heroes. I respect anyone who has ever written anything and gotten it played. Mm-hmm. And played live. And I really, my tastes are go across many genres. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful that people have done this before me. You know, I'm just so pleased that there are so many talented people out there who, you know, and also people you really haven't heard of. I don't know. I'm just glad, you know, and my taste run, you know, I've got Broadway people too. And my voice teacher out here is named Sue Rainey. She's a jazz singer. Mm-hmm. She's only been doing it for 50 years, you know. And she's fantastic, and she just does a concert every once in a while, and there's a lot of people who know her and a lot of people who don't, and she's still doing it, you know? So it's like, wow, Sue, you know, just you're a great teacher. I've had great role models.
Yeah. So, maybe that's the better question, you know, who have been your role models that you want to emulate or...
Oh, I don't think I can emulate anybody.
Well, you are who you are, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. I just...
Are there any comedians that you've looked up to over the years?
I've looked up to everybody, really. Really. Yeah, you know, people always ask me this question. I don't know. Everybody. Really. Yeah, everybody. Yeah. I've known a lot of comedians. I've known a lot of male comics. I've known a lot of female comedians. I know people who are still doing it. I know people who did it. Mm-hmm. You know, one person, I'm going to tell you, one person I look up to is Mike Stoller. He's of Lieber and Stoller.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I worked with him on a project that he was doing, one of his Broadway shows, a few years ago. And, I mean, he's been doing it since the 50s, you know,
right. Mm-hmm.
And he still writes and he's still there every day and he's still doing it. It's just, he's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy. And, you know, once I was on a plane ride, with, now I'm going to forget his name. What's the name of that musical group? I'm talking, now we're going back a long time. Mm-hmm. Would You Like to Fly in My Beautiful Balloon? Da, 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 da.
Oh, The Fifth Dimension.
The Fifth Dimension. Now, the guy who was the head of that.
Uh-huh. Bill, what's his?
Billy. Anyway, I was on a plane ride with him to Chicago once, and I had no idea who he was. Absolutely no idea. We're sitting next to each other, because it was the first time I ever rode first class.
Billy Davis Jr. That's his name.
Yeah. And he was married to
Marilyn McCoo.
Yeah, she was sitting, and I didn't realize it was Marilyn McCoo, a couple rows back. And for that short ride from L.A. to Chicago, I mean, he and I had the best time. I mean, he was just the most gracious, most wonderful man, and I had no idea who he was. And then I said something like, oh, I had just, I'm actually going to Chicago to go to the Tonight Show. They're there for a week, you know. He said, oh, you know people who work on the show? And I said, yes, I do. And I've worked on it and Jay and this and that. He goes, oh, well, I was on the show. And I said, who are you? And he goes, oh, I'm so-and-so. You know, and I said, oh, my gosh. I just love the fact that there are people who have done their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was his thing, that group and those songs. And still remained a lovely, lovely person. Very giving, still very talented.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, it was like the nicest person you could ever meet.
Yeah.
And a regular guy.
Yeah.
And a regular guy.
I tell people all the time with KC Cafe Radio, the most nicest people we have on the station are the most talented people we have on
mm-hmm.
the station.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's amazing how it's like, really, you're going to be that nice to me, you know? You're almost shocked when you're like, people are like so nice. You're like, really, you're so good. You know, you could, you know, I'm just always blown away by how nice people are. And
Me too. Me too. It's really nice. And I really don't want to hang out with anybody who isn't anymore. It's just not my scene.
Right, right.
You know, I don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Tonight Show there, and you've on your bio it says that you've been on the Tonight Show over 100 times.
That's correct.
Were all those with Jay Leno when he was hosting, or?
Yes, they were all with Jay.
And what kind of things would he have you doing on the show?
Well, I would appear. It would be either live or taped bits. Mm-hmm. And live. Let's see. I was coming out from the audience doing something because people didn't realize I just wasn't a regular audience member.
Yeah.
Because I just am normal, you know. Mm-hmm. And one time I came out as there was a woman who had multiple births in one of those years. Uh-huh. I don't know how many kids she had.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was the one in the audience who gave birth to like 44 babies. Live in the audience, and the babies kept popping out, you know. Uh-huh. And I was always the woman on tape who was screaming with rollers in the bathrobe. Always. Mm-hmm. Always. My scream is very well known on that show. And I would do stuff live. For example, I was Elizabeth Taylor in a game that they did on stage. Once I had to come out and throw, I don't know what it was, a basketball or a cabbage, something in a hoop. They didn't really know that I play basketball. And so, they didn't realize they actually hired somebody who could actually shoot. So stuff like, oh no, it wasn't a basketball hoop. It was one of those dunk the people. You have to throw the ball.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Person gets dunked. Well, that person got dunked. That's me. I just did a lot of stuff. I actually blew up a couple of times on stage. I played the Unabomber's mother once. So I had a beard, full beard and hair like he did.
Oh, that's funny.
And it was weird because I have a twin brother, and when they put the beard on me, I looked just like my twin brother, which was so bizarre. But no, yeah, Jay is an absolute wonderful person.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that he's just a really giving person and a good guy. So I know you've worked with Fred Willard. Did you do anything with him on The Tonight Show? Because I know he's been on there a lot, too.
A couple times I worked with him on The Tonight Show. I work with him in his sketch group out here. So it's a sketch writing group, and then we go and we perform the sketches. As a matter of fact, in his group, which is called The Mohos, he and his wife, Mary, lead the group. They're the ones that I developed a few of these songs with. Mm-hmm. You know, and let me tell you the ones that I did. I remember I did PTA Mom for them. They didn't know what was happening. I performed Hamster, We Got No Love Today, the polka. Mm-hmm. And Judy Weiner. So all of those. Oh, and Yesterday I Was So Tired. That I did that in a show for them in Fullerton, California. And actually that was done live, and I had a guitarist with me, and we did that one. And people fell over. So
yeah.
I actually they've given me the opportunity to create my own little world with my music. Mm-hmm. In addition to the comedy sketches that we do.
Yeah. So are those improvised too, or are those?
No, those are all, no improvisation, unless we make a mistake. Uh-huh. No, those are all written. Everything's written.
Uh-huh. And who else is in that comedy group with you guys?
A lot of young writers, people you haven't heard of, but they're coming up. Mm-hmm. Who are very, very talented. Joanne Worley was with us for a while.
Oh, she's great.
She's great, isn't she? Paul Wilson, he's an actor. As soon as you see him, you'd know him. He had been on Cheers. He would sit at the bar every day.
Okay.
Kind of the balding guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's Paul.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, a few people like that.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Where is that? Where do they do that?
We actually perform our, when we do put a show together, we do it at Second City Stage here in Hollywood.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. 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 But thank goodness for Fred and Mary. They're the ones that really you know, I had an idea. They said, just go ahead and write it, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd come back the next week and sing it. No accompaniment, no nothing, no genre, you know. And they'd say, okay, it sounds great. What are you going to do with it? You know, and I'm like, I don't know. So, but they're, yeah, they're, thank you, Fred and Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
He's an amazingly talented guy. I just love everything he's done.
He's a wonderful guy. Yeah. His wife had written a musical years ago, actually, and the music was written by Marty Stewart, a country star. Yeah, so that was a big thrill for me to sing for him. That was really nice.
So do you ever write any songs more on the serious side? You ever written a more...
It's funny you should say that, because I have a song that I've written. I haven't recorded it yet. I almost don't know what to do with it because it's extremely serious.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think I would like to actually get it out within the next 2 months.
Good.
I'd like to do it, yeah. And there's another one that's on the cusp of, it is pretty serious too. So I've got two of them, and I still have my notebooks full of the other ones that I haven't finished. I'm like, well, what would I call this album if it has two serious songs and 10 funny songs? I don't know.
You can say a little on the serious side.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I have. The one that I'm thinking of, I can't wait to tell Chad about, because I'm going to tell him I need someone who plays the cello.
Oh.
Yeah, one of my favorite instruments. So, but it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, good.
Make sure you send it to us.
Definitely. I know. And my the studio that I record these things at, the guy Brad Swanson, you know, he just wrote me an email yesterday. He says, oh, it's great. He said, I remember all the laughing in the studio. And I'm thinking, okay, the next one's not going to be that funny.
Well, you're there, though, so you'll make it fun, even if it is a serious song.
That's true. Yeah.
So do you know what the first song was you ever wrote?
The first song was Formula 409.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I wrote, the first song I wrote. And that was followed by the polka.
So did you make up songs when you were a kid, too?
You know, I would be on my backyard swing singing. It was weird, but yeah, I did, actually. I would just be singing, this little kid swinging on the swing.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, in my household, my older sister and I always did the dishes, you know, after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just sing. She would sing the melody. I would sing the melody. She'd sing the harmony. And I guess that's how I got my first musical lesson, you know, music lesson.
Yeah.
And I guess I was making up songs a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you seem really like music has always been a thread throughout your life. I know you mentioned that you were really you liked Oliver Twist and you're into, or Oliver. Was it Oliver or Oliver Twist? I can't remember.
the musical Oliver?
Yeah, it was Oliver, right?
I wish I had... I could have jumped off the balcony and joined the cast on stage. I think I went to see that, in sixth grade or something, seventh grade. I wanted to be there, you know? And then I realized people actually wrote the songs. You know what I mean?
Well, that just didn't happen.
Well, wait a minute. You mean maybe I could write some too? Yeah. What?
That's great.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you've improvised musicals and things. Have you ever thought about recording any of that?
We have thought about it. You know, it's hard to record improvisation because when you perform it in front of an audience, there's that... thing that goes on between a performer, live performer, and an audience member that you just can't capture on video, especially if it's improvisation, because when you improvise, the audience gives you the benefit of the doubt because you're not going by a script. And so they love the stuff you do even when you're stuttering or you're making a mistake or you're making a fool of yourself.
Right.
Where this stuff doesn't get by in scripted video pieces. You know, it's just not the same magic.
Right. And the camera doesn't know where to go either.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because they really can't block out the cameras and things for and improvise things.
Right. I mean, I've done a couple of improvised television things and I, you know, didn't work that well. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend it. But, you know, we tried. Everybody tried.
Yeah.
And it was fine. But the, what was that called? Whose Line Is It Anyway? Are you familiar with that?
Yep. I went to one of the first tapings of that show.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've worked with Wayne and Brad off of that crew. Uh-huh. And one of the musical genres that they do on that show, the Irish drinking song, is one that my group came up with, Chicago City Limits Touring Company, in the van on our way to a gig in just outside of New York City one night. You know, we're like, let's do something different in our show. So we came up with the Irish drinking song. And I came out here and I taught it to the people at LA Theater Sports, and Brad was a member of that with me. So things get passed around, you know.
Yeah. It's sort of like folk music. It kind of gets passed from generation to generation and from person to person. So.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, we have I've met Laura Hall.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, and she's a really sweet lady.
She's
extremely talented.
Yeah.
And her husband, Rich, and
Yeah, Laura, as a matter of fact, my husband and I had an improv group out here. We performed for 9 years every Sunday night at the Laugh Factory. And Laura, when our accompanist couldn't make it, Laura played with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice. And then she actually came to my elementary school here when I was PTA mom.
Oh, really?
With her kids. So it's like, okay, here we go. But yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah, she is. She has a band with her husband called the Sweet Potatoes. And they played at the Farm Conference this past year in St. Louis. So that's where I met her at. It was really neat.
when my daughter was like 2 years old or so, she did a mini concert in this little coffee house right here in LA, in North Hollywood. And at that time, she was selling her tapes.
Yeah.
I think it was tapes. I don't think it was CDs. I think it was tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, we bought one, you know.
Yeah.
And that was just terrific. So, yeah. Well, we know a lot of the same people.
Yeah, that's very cool. So you were talking about working on some new stuff. When do you think you're going to be doing that?
Well, let's see. I definitely want to do that one song before I do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to actually do that in the next 2 months. After that, I don't know, because I have to look up all my songs and see if I can actually finish them. I am also thinking about writing myself a stage show in which I can use my music. So I would just have to buckle down and do that. You know, I'm not, you know, a folk singer. I don't go with my guitar somewhere. I can't just show up at the corner and do a song. However, I have done my country song up at a country bar here in LA.
Really?
Yeah. And taken my lead sheets, and there's the band behind me, and we all have a great time. But I kind of need my, you know, tracks or something to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, I'm doing this play, and we have another 5 weeks on it, and so we'll see where that leads. And, you know, I don't know. I'll let you know, though. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. We'll for sure want to hear it and play it. So.
Okay. Okay. In the meantime, I'll think of another name for another album, and then I'll proceed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to hearing when you come up with a new album or even a new song, and you're ready to share it with us.
Oh, okay. All right. Great.
Maybe you can write another Christmas song and have that ready for Christmas.
Maybe I could. Well, Christmas in Kansas City.
Yeah, there you go. Or you could talk about New Jersey or something like that, too.
Well, that's true. That's true. I do plan a trip back to the East Coast in August, and so I'll see what kind of things I can think about when I'm there or on the plane ride back. I get very creative on the plane ride back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, traveling seems to be a good way to, it kind of gets those creative juices flowing a little bit.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
You have two really interesting characters that you do, the Smoky Lady and Miss Morella.
Yes.
Tell me about who those ladies are.
The Smoky Lady is a barfly. She's like a philosophical barfly.
Mm-hmm.
And she does smoke. I came up with her actually one night in New York during a Chicago City Limits show. It was during a performance piece, improvised piece called Town Meeting. And we would all come on as different characters. And I detest smoking. Okay. I detest it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something I would never do. But I went backstage, found somebody's cigarettes, and I put two in my mouth. And I came out smoking two cigarettes with this gravelly voice. And this was a long time ago. And the name of the character was Sylvania Blue Dot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember the Sylvania Blue Dot light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my whole topic was there was a Michael Milken scandal back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tore into him. And we were supposed to talk for like, a minute. And I was talking for 10 minutes and I didn't stop. And that was the beginning of that character. And she has talked about everything from Valentine's Day to Christmas, to anniversaries, to women giving birth. I mean, and she's talked about plastic bags. That's Smoky Lady. Love Smoky Lady. Love her, love her, love her. When I do her in a show, though, I can't do her until the end of the show because of the voice.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Morella, on the other hand, actually, I came up with her after riding the 79th Street Crosstown bus in New York. And I saw this lady board the bus in front of the Museum of Natural History.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at her and I said, she's museum lady. And that was her name before I came out to LA, museum lady. And basically she's very knowledgeable. And she's like the professor you might have had in school, extremely knowledgeable. She talks like this. I used her as the host of my award shows out here, and she also hosted an event in further out in the valley here, a big, huge city event, and this and that. But and I've put her in a lot of sketches.
Mm-hmm.
I did a sketch between her and Margaret Mead once. Actually, Margaret Mead was a professor of mine.
I'd like to see her on Jeopardy. That would be fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. Miss Morella is, everybody loves Miss Morella.
Uh-huh.
Everybody absolutely loves, well, they love both of them. But it's either Morella or Smoky Lady if I get to do a gig somewhere. Morella's usually the hostess and Smoky Lady's the guest.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever written a song in their voice?
You know, I haven't. I have sung in their voices. I have. Miss Morella sings We Got No Love Today.
Okay.
That's actually Miss Morella. Live, you know, you'd have to see her live to get the whole impact. But
yeah, I've seen her picture on your website, so.
But you know, Miss Morella was actually was the post office lady in We Got No Love Today.
Okay.
And that was actually based, that song came to me, by the way, from the North Hollywood post office here. That actually happened. They had no love stamps.
Oh, okay.
And that was it. We Got No Love Today. I went home and I wrote the song.
That's funny.
And then I wrote it into a sketch in which Miss Morella was the post office lady, and Paul Wilson was one of our people looking for help. And then we broke into this whole country song with harmony and stuff. And that is Miss Morella. I actually had forgotten about that.
That's cool.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. Thank you. What's on my album? Thank you.
You are sort of what is considered a quadruple threat. Do you prefer the stage, the screen, television, or music?
You know, I don't think I prefer one over the other. Whoever gives me work or whatever I'm doing at the moment is what I like. When I was in the studio doing this album, I never felt more at home. Mm-hmm. I was in total control, you know, which is kind of nice. Because as an actor, well, you're in charge of your own performance, but someone is always directing you, you know. And on film, you are almost the least important aspect of the film. Because you've got a director, you've got an editor, their lines aren't yours, you know. I just felt I just felt so comfortable, and I had such a great time. And it was just a fantastic experience for me because it was my words, my vision, my voice, in collaboration with the other artists that I was working with. You know what I mean? So that was absolutely fantastic. You know, I just couldn't believe how comfortable I felt there. On stage, I love that because I am in control of my performance. And I love doing that, and I love being close to my audience. You know, so it's six of one, half a dozen of the other.
It's all performing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, when I'm doing it live, I love the feedback. I love the feedback. You know, if I have 100 people in the audience and one person, you know, it's like, ugh, I could hear something. That's, you know, I hear it and I feel it and I love it. I love it. I don't care if the, I don't care if my audience laughs or cries or does anything or moans or something like that. I'm getting a reaction. I'm touching someone and I can hear it and I can feel it. But then in the studio, it's, I loved it. I loved it. It just, it was, felt like that was where I was supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, you can hear it in the CD. It's a really great album, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. And like
Thank
I said,
you.
It's one that you kind of listen, you hear it, and you're like, oh yeah, I can relate to that, you know. Sort of in a funny way, though, you know. You don't take yourself too seriously, and that's good.
You know that song, I'm Old? When I was singing, I sang it, you know, before for somebody, and everybody wanted to know, well, that's about you. How could you think that way about yourself? You know, well, besides the fact that we all know that this happens,
right?
That you get old, it actually is not about me.
Yeah, it's somewhat titled Amy's song, so.
Yep, that's about Amy.
Okay.
One of my fellow basketball moms.
Okay.
And, you know, it just happened one night, you know, we had broken for our, I was going to say intermission. Can you believe I'm a performer talking for halftime.
Right.
And it was like 1 minute and our coach is going, okay, ladies, let's go get back in the court. And she couldn't get up from the floor. And I said, Amy, what's going on? She goes, don't talk to me. I'm old. I'm achy and I'm fat. And I'm like, thank you.
There you go. There's the first line of a song.
Yeah. So,
that's great.
Yeah. So, you know, you never know where the next one's going to come from.
Yeah. Keep your ears open.
And everybody goes, Judy, I don't even know if I should talk to you. You might write a song about me.
Well, they should be honored that you'd write a song about them.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'll tell them that the next time.
Well, I want to tell everybody they can pick up your CD on CD Baby. It's Judy Nazmetz, and it's Nazemetz. Kind of an easy spelling of a name there, I think.
Yeah.
And they can pick that on with CD Baby. Is there any place else they can find it?
Oh, they can find it in all the usual places.
Like iTunes and all those places.
Yeah, right? Yep.
Okay. And then, of course, you have a wonderful website, which is judynazmetz.com. Pretty simple to remember as well. And I want to do the spelling again. It's Judy, Nazemetz.com. And so you can go there and you can find out all the amazing things that Judy has done and is she's doing right now with the play she's doing and other. You're always busy doing something.
I try never to be idle.
Yeah. So you can go to all those places and find out about what she's doing and about her music. And please pick up the CD on CD Baby or one of the other places you can get music from, because you'll have a good time listening to this CD. I guarantee it. It's called Variety Pack, and I think you'll love it. So thank you again, Judy, for taking the time to talk with us today here on KC Cafe Radio.
You're welcome, Kathy.
And we're going to be looking forward to more music coming from you. So.
All righty.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Thank you so much.